the level of competition, man. Let me show you that the offensive guys, they care about winning. Defensive side, they care about winning. And, you know, it got to be a next play mentality. But, you know, you never want to see your quarterback in the middle of those type of games. But when it do happens, you know, it just shows you the level of dog he got in him. He ain't going to take nothing. It shows you how much he cares about his offense, how much he cares about winning. And same goes for both sides of the ball with Jeff and him. And, you know, you get that same attitude, that same confidence, that same edge each and every day out of those two guys. You know, they never change. So, you know, that's what you expect. But when it does happen with our quarterback, you know, we try to break it up as soon as possible, fix it as soon as possible. But for me, I feel like it's a great thing. You know, when you got great teams, man, brothers fight. And at the end of the day, as long as we all got each other back, we all connected, you know, we all got that bond, and we all got that same connection where we're going to fight for one another, then that's the most important thing at the end of the day.
That's second-year cornerback Jarvis Brownlee of the Tennessee Titans commenting on today's story, which is right now the number one story on the ESPN wire. I don't know if that means it's a little bit of a slow news day. Maybe it is. But it's interesting when you have two big names like this. Teron Davenport's story on ESPN, and Teron joined us earlier on our show. You're listening to DVD here on 102.5 The Game. Tempers flare during a 96-degree day at Titans training camp. Cam Ward, Jeffrey Simmons got into a scuffle on Monday. Ward threw a touchdown pass to Calvin Ridley towards the end of practice. Went over to celebrate. The rookie quarterback stopped and gave Simmons a shove before doing his trademark Zombieland celebration in front of him. Simmons reacted with a two-hand push towards face mask, and the offensive line came running towards defense. And apparently, if you take a look prior to that, Simmons was already a little bit heated up because the previous play, and in the context, this is something that Teron mentioned, that J.C. Latham had a good block on Simmons, which sprang the running back for a touchdown in the red zone. So Big Jeff was already kind of ticked off about that. So with that in the backdrop, D-Mace, I hand it to you, your interpretation. I know we talked about this early in the show, but here we are in the 5 o'clock hour, a lot of people getting in their cars and want to know what's up with this.
Big Jeff was big mad. That's what happened. And there's nothing wrong with being upset when you feel that, you know, the opponent has gotten the best of you. You're upset, but you got to come back and you got to try to stop them from doing what they're doing. And when he tried to come back and stop him, Cam Ward threw a touchdown to Calvin Ridley, you know, and that just escalated everything so much so that the quarterback, you know, he wants to chime in too, which is nothing wrong with that. And he got up in the defensive player face, Jeffrey Simmons, and Jeffrey decided to then put them paws on him. And that's something you can't do. You know, regardless, and again, I'm not going to make a big deal of it because I don't think it is a big deal. Things like this happen, in sports, especially when you're in camp, tempers are, you know, high and flaring, it's hot, you're irritable. And again, if, you know, as a defensive guys, it doesn't take much for those guys to get irritated. You start moving the ball on them, you start making them look silly, and all of a sudden all hell breaks loose. But you know, this is a situation where Jeff has to, that leadership has to kick in.
Right, and that's where a lot of people are wondering, and there's no footage of this play. Mm-hmm. So we're all going by the accounts of people like Paul Kuharsky and Teron Davenport, big members of our team here on 102.5 The Game, and their firsthand accounts of what happened here. But also, in the backdrop is what happened last year when Jeffrey Simmons was at the point of a big fight. Mm-hmm. He was not thrown out of practice. That was a big story last year about his leadership. He's the most decorated player that they have. And so there are a lot of people asking the question, should Jeffrey Simmons have been thrown out of practice based on what happened today? And it's hard for us to make a real definitive call, but Teron did say on our show earlier, he thought it was an opportunity for Brian Callahan to go ahead and throw Jeffrey Simmons out because he was the guy who, quote, retaliated. There's no question Cam Ward poked the bear, but when you retaliate, often you're the guy that gets the 15-yard penalty, And that would have been grounds to throw him out.
Yeah, and depending on, because again, we're not getting the film. We're just getting snapshots. We're getting previews of what happened. This could have been an opportunity for Callahan. If this indeed happened at the end of the practice, you throw him out. Practice over with anyway, but at least people that are watching see and understand, like, okay, he's not putting up with this. I know it was the end of practice, but he's not putting up with it. And you could have got away with it. Even if somebody would have said, oh, you only threw him out because it was the end of practice. No. If you throw a punch in the game, I don't care if it's the second left. They're going to throw you out the game, which affects you the next game and which affects your pocketbooks. You know, so he could have got away with saying that. Again, we were not there. We are only based in our opinion on what was said from people that were there, Teron, Paul Korski, guys that are, that are on this airwave, that are tremendous friends of ours when it comes to reporting things over there. So we get a lot of stuff when we're not there. We get a lot of stuff from them because they are there. So when Teron says that, maybe that was a good opportunity, that may have been an opportunity for him to throw him out of practice, that told me that if that happened in the game, it would have been a 15-yard penalty.
Other questions that people are asking. Paul Kuharski took issue with the fact that Jeffrey Simmons was basically escorted off the field past the media without addressing it after practice. Maybe they thought he was a little bit overheated literally and also mentally and would not have been in a good position to answer the questions. Cam Ward also did not speak to the media, although the quarterback usually speaks on a particular day once a week. Today was not his normal day. I'm guessing eventually he will answer the questions, as will Big Jeff. Brian Callahan also will be facing the media tomorrow morning before practice, so I'm sure everybody will have their answers by then. The other question I think I have, too, because I think it would have been great to maybe ideally nip it in the bud now, say, hey, it's not a big deal, rather than let this become a story like it is on the ESPN wire and have everybody asking about it. But also this, and this is what we'll ask you, the listeners. What do you think of all this? 615-737-1025. Our call and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I'd like that the competitiveness raised to that level in practice. This is the time that you want this. You're trying to establish some alpha dog, some identity on both sides of the ball. To me, as long as it doesn't carry over after practice or the next day in practice, and you can channel that, I want a competitive practice. I want a rivalry.
What is going to happen if your team is competitive, things like this is going to happen. You don't typically see it, where there's a scuffle or whatever you want to call it with the quarterback and the defensive tackle. You may hear talking from the quarterback, but a lot of times you don't see the physical confrontation that you saw. But that's okay. It really is okay. But again, this is another situation where Brian Callahan, if indeed it happened sort of like the way people are painting it, that were there, then that was probably your opportunity to make a statement. It would have been a perfect time, because if it was the end of practice, so be it, you kick him out, but at least you are, you're setting some boundaries here. Like, you can't do things that are going to hurt our team. And Jeff has to understand that too. You can't do things that are going to ultimately hurt your team. You could say, well, it was just practice, but listen, if it happens too many times, when it comes to them two, I don't think those two guys have a problem whatsoever. I think they're just two competitors. But when you put your hands on another player,
a quarterback.
Yeah, quarterback. Yeah, Cam, we know it's good with Cam. But in the game, it's not good.
Right. As soon as you touch the quarterback, there it's an automatic response.
Exactly.
The whole and Dan Moore commented on this. It's automatic. Like,
yeah,
it's in your DNA. You go.
You got to protect.
You rally around the quarterback.
You got to protect the quarterback.
Yes.
So he has to. I'm not going to say he has to. He should know that. He should know that you can't do that. I've never seen Ray Lewis do that. I never seen Haloti Ngata do that. I never seen Kevin Carter do it. I never seen Javon Curse do it. These great players, Terrell Suggs, and Terrell was just as crazy as just anybody. I never saw him do that in practice. Those are things you don't do in practice because if they become a habit in practice, you're going to do them in the game. So,
and this is a team that had discipline and detail problems, and it has been a big point of emphasis for Brian Callahan throughout the offseason of what they want to be better at. So these are the questions we have for you, the listeners. 615-737-1025. Do you think Brian Callahan should have handled this a little bit differently? Do you think Jeffrey Simmons would have been better off addressing the media after? Or was it the right move to just cool off, address it tomorrow morning? I will have a big problem if they don't address it tomorrow morning. I'm pretty confident that they will. So let's go and see what we have on our text line so far. You can call in as well. Go old school. Grab the vine. 615-737-1025. First texter says, guys, the Simmons Cam thing is stupid. They go fishing together. They're friends. Jeff is trying to get in his head, mess with him, so he knows what it's going to be like in a game. Cam knows this too. Let them do their thing.
I don't think they have a problem with one another. Yeah, you're right. They may go fishing together. This is not trying to frame it, at least not from my standpoint, and I don't think it's from the show's standpoint either. We're not trying to pit these two against one another because that's not the case. I'm sure they have a good relationship, as good as it can possibly be. He spends the bulk of his time with the defense and he the offense, but I'm sure they break bread enough to have a friendship, okay? So that I am not worried about. It happens. What I'm saying is the leaders that I've been around on defense, they will chirp and they will go back and forth. Kevin Carter, Bullock, Lewis, Suggs, Curse. I mean, all these guys that I played with that we considered leaders, yeah, they chirp, Blaine Bishop. Me and Blaine and I got into it. We chirp. But you know that there's a limit. There's that line. Because if you
even
are—
in practice.
Even because if you are a habitual line stepper, you're going to cross it. You're going to cross it in the
right.
game.
And also, I think for a young head coach, Brian Callahan, it was another opportunity, perhaps, to flex the authority of the head coach and say, I am willing to set the standard even with the most decorated player that I have, the highest paid player.
That's when you—
I'm not going to be one of those guys that, hey, if it's the third string guy, I'm not going to make an example out of the third string guy, kick him out, and not kick out the top player if that's the guy that I feel should have been kicked out. So I'm sure Brian Callahan will have to wrestle with this. I'll have to answer the question tomorrow morning. True?
Yeah, he's going to have to answer it, and I'm sure—
And he may say, look, it wasn't anything. It wasn't even a penalty. None of us have seen the film.
Yeah, I will tell you, he's going to say it's nothing.
I would say that Teron is usually a guy that is not going to overblow something like that. And he was the one that said he could have thrown him out.
Yeah, somebody's going to mention that, you know, Jeffrey Simmons put his hands on a face mask of Cam Ward. Is that a 15-yard penalty and or an ejection? And if so, why didn't you eject Simmons after that? That question will be asked to Brian Callahan, and he has to be able to answer that because, again, I know it in the big scheme of things as far as those two guys. It's nothing. They're probably going fishing this weekend after the game if they got time to relax. It's nothing. But when you're talking about just as the whole, when you're talking about the season and what can potentially happen inside of a game, yeah, that's big. Because you don't want to consistently do things in practice that are going to be detrimental to your ball club and think, oh, I'm not going to do that in the game. Yeah, you will do it in the game.
And we did check. Jeffrey Simmons has had a couple of unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. It's not a huge problem.
It's nothing big.
Anything like that. But, you know, you're trying to set the standard not just for him but your whole team. And penalties were a big problem. Mm-hmm. Big problem for this team last year. 615-737-1025. One texter says, perfect time to do this. Let's trade Simmons to Cincinnati for Trey Hendrickson.
Hendrickson's
a little older.
He's only 30. He'll be 31 in December.
I have to check the birthdays. It's at least 2 years older than Jeffrey Simmons. So
but he's had 17 and a half sacks the last two. And somebody said, I heard somebody say, he's on the downside of his career, meaning Hendrickson. No, he's not. He just had 17 and a half sacks two seasons in a row. How the hell can you be on your downside?
But is one player going to solve the problem? I would take the picks for a Simmons.
Yeah.
I still am of the belief that regardless of had this happened or not, I would have said I'm still in the mode of exploring the trade options for Jeffrey Simmons. Maybe not today, because that's one of the issues with Hendrickson is – making a trade right now is not easy because, you know, the what you get for that trade doesn't help you right now if you're a contender like the Bengals. I don't think he's going to get traded, but we'll see. 615-737-1025. Give us your reaction. Here on a Monday on DVD, we are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. DVD continues here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason. As we keep on rolling on this very warm Monday evening, 615-737-1025. We're asking for your comments on this Jeffrey Simmons, Cam Ward thing, but also we will open that up to anything else you want to hit D-Mace with about the discussion on Friday night and what's going on with the Titans. Where do you think they are? In particular, the young players, we're going to single out a couple of them in our next segment, Gunnar Helm and Femi Oladejo. But if you've got other particular things to ask about the game, feel free to do that. 615-737-1025. On the Simmons and Ward scuffle, texter says, what the H-E double hockey sticks? You don't throw down on a QB, period. So he says, no matter what you do, you don't touch the quarterback.
No. I mean, yeah, you don't. But it happened. Again, I'm not going to make this about, you know, pitting one player against the other because I don't think that's the case. But, you know, those things, when you do them, you know, in practice because you're heated, there's a likelihood that you would do it in a game if you're heated, if something like this happens to you in a game. Because you've already sort of given the blueprint in a sense to how to get a 15-yard penalty so against Jeffrey Simmons. So he has to understand that, yeah, you and Cam still buddies. Everybody knows that. It wasn't nothing big. But in the game, you will get a 15-yard penalty. You will get a fine in your locker on Tuesday that you will pick up on Wednesday when you come in if you don't come in Tuesday. And you're hurting the team. So that was a prime moment for Coach Brian Callahan to escort you out of practice, meaning kicking you out of practice. And that would have rang loud amongst that team.
Other things we've discussed today, of course, is that Cam Ward's stats in the game so far. We hit that hard last hour, but if you've got questions on that, if you're just joining us, feel free to jump in there. 615-737-1025. Merle from Mount Juliet says, do you guys know if Dan Moore is okay? He was limping off the field with a trainer the other night. By all accounts, it was very minor. You always cringe with that because they really need him. He did get rolled up. If you slow that play down, you've seen plays like this where another lineman, offensive or defense, falls on you when you're not suspecting. It could be bad, but it did not look bad at all. I think he's okay.
Nah, he'll be fine. Just a little roll up.
Let's go to Josh on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. Wanted to comment on Simmons. I dislike, and I'm disappointed a little bit. Like that they're getting heated on the field, and we're seeing that competition take place. Don't like that, you know, Simmons' ability to hold character, keep his cool, and stay the line when he's looked at as a leader. It's disappointing. I mean, he had a run play by J.C. Latham where he got blocked, and then he gets passed on. And, you know, I expect the rookie quarterback to get in his face a little bit and be proud of his work. And I think, D-Maze, you said it great. You know, look, there's going to be some chipping when we're playing football, but at the same time, you got to be able to keep your cool. And when you're looked at it as a leader, your ability to not stay collected, it's just a poor reflection with how much we always talk about him and how great he is being a flagship player, and disappointed in Callahan for not stepping in and making an example, because he reminds me of a high school bully Simmons does, where he wants to talk this big game and he wants to be tough and the leader of the team, but the second things don't go his way, you know, he gets emotional about it. He just don't like to see it.
Okay, Josh, thanks a lot for the call. I would say two things. A, I don't think this is the kind of thing that would happen in a game, not over this, right? Jeffrey Simmons does not have a chronic problem of losing his cool. He's been playing this game for a long time. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt there. Now, what happens at practice, there you have to address, right? So that I think it's a fair thing to ask about Callahan. The other thing is, too, I would assume Cam Ward is not going to do this in a game when they score a touchdown. He's not going to run up and shove a player on the other team. I think he did it to stir it up a little bit and kind of have a playful, competitive banter with Simmons, who he's got a rapport with.
Yeah, and it happens. And again, I understand where the caller is coming from. You know, you like, you dislike, disappointed. Yeah, you can be disappointed in Jeffrey because of some things that have happened in the past. You can dislike how he reacted. And you can like the aggressiveness that both of those guys have with one another. You have a guy on the offensive side of the ball that seems to be an alpha, and you got somebody on the defensive side of the ball that has shown he is one. And you're going to collide every so often, but you hope that it doesn't come to where, you know, you're pushing and shoving the quarterback, because if the quarterback gets hurt because you shoved him, you might as well pack your bags and leave the building, because they're going to end up cutting you. If he gets hurt to a point where he can't play, you might as well, and depending on how the team is doing, you might as well leave the city, because everybody's going to be mad at you. So that's like, you don't put your – there are two things you don't do in sports. And one of them is you do not touch the cash cow. In football, right, it's the quarterback. In basketball, it could be the marquee player.
In hockey, it's the goalie.
In hockey, you just don't you – I don't care how angry you are with him, don't you touch him. That's just an unwritten rule.
Baseball is the same way. If you brush back, you know, the top hitter, there will be a retaliation.
Exactly.
They will throw at your best hitter. That's
exactly
the way it's been played.
He understands that. And hopefully, because Brian Callahan is talking tomorrow and in the morning, and we will have our very own Adam. He will, Van der Vingen, he will be there. So he will get, you know, record what's going on.
It will be a little extra attention paid to that,
absolutely,
to that press conference.
So hopefully
tomorrow
they have whatever story they want to put out.
They better
hopefully
have, they need to be
every,
on the same
exactly
page.
Everybody's on the same page.
No question about it. 615-737-1025. Text or text in. By the way, if you're not going to give your own name on the text line, have fun with it and, like, make up a name. Mr. Fantastic or the Hulk or something like that.
What did we do? We did Marvel last time.
We used to have themes. Right. We do themes sometimes.
Let's do that. Instead of Marvel, what's the other one?
DC.
Let's do DC.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you don't want to put down your name, put down a DC character.
Okay, well, let's have the Flash. This will be the Flash. Cam hasn't scored on the opponent's second team defenses. Now he scores on the Titans' first team defense. The defense ought to be mad. We got some smart Alex on the text line today.
Yes.
Can't blame Big Jeff for being mad.
I don't even know how to answer that because it made me laugh.
Yeah. Well, this is another theme, is there's a little bit of panic.
Yes.
That Cam Ward, because they have played two games against teams that have not played their starters, and they haven't smoothly dominated. But I'm trying to put that in the context of, you know, this isn't a great roster around Cam Ward right now, and I'm still looking big picture with Ward. So it doesn't bother me as much as it's bothering people. But there are a lot of people that love to overreact, and they're hyper critical of what they're seeing. And it did look ugly at times on Friday. So are you worried?
No, I am. I'm not worried, but I would say that, you know, I'm uneasy a little bit because it can go either way. This team can be terrible, and this team can be pretty good. Now, I'm not saying pretty good where they're going to, you know, make it to the AFC Championship or even win a game in the playoffs, but I think this team can be better than what everyone expected to be. But I also
– the bar is pretty low.
Yeah, but I also am, you know, it's like, man, this team could be bad. They could be really, really bad. And I think that will happen is if they start to incur injuries. Even though they have the number one slot in the waiver wire, they're not good enough to withstand 2-3 injuries. Hell, they're really not good enough to let alone sustain one, but 2 or 3.
They've got to take advantage of that waiver wire. Exactly. They need to get better on the margins. Mm-hmm. And take full advantage of that. Matt from Camden says, Callahan should have kicked Jeff out of practice. Don't do dumb bleep to hurt the team. Quoting the predecessor for Brian Callahan.
I mean, you can't push back on the fan base when they say something like that. Even though, again, I don't want the perception to be we think that Jeffrey is just this, you know, flagrant, personal foul type of player, because he's not. He doesn't have a history of that in games. But here's the bad part about it. Our most recent memory of Jeffrey Simmons hasn't been good when it comes to interaction with media or whatnot. It hasn't been. Or player, you know, getting kicked out.
Hasn't played great up to maybe his best standard that he has set the last couple years.
So you bag all of that up, and if something like this happens, you know, it may be something small that I'm not worried about, but the fan base, they're looking at it different. Like, we already had other instances where the head coach should have stood on 10 toes and said, hey, listen, you need to get out of here. You need to go to the locker room because we're not going to have that, because what you're doing is hurting the team. And granted, it's only been a few times, but when it happens again after Jeffrey said, man, I've become a better leader and this and that, but then when something like that happens, people say, well, Jeff, man, isn't this what you were working on? I know it's not going to be perfect, but man, you are the leader of that defense. And we don't expect you to walk around like a choir boy, but like situations like that, you got to know.
Brian Texan says, Willie, Jeff has at least one penalty a game.
No, he don't.
That extends drives and always ends in points. His temper has shown up at times in games. Well, you're just contradicting yourself. Mm-hmm. I don't think he has one penalty a game.
No, that's not
We actually Jeff. Looked up the numbers. Yes. Adam left. He actually looked them up. It's not that he's never had.
He's had a few.
Unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. He definitely has. But he's a high motor guy. I don't think it's a problem. Another texter, Justin, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, how far away is Simmons from stepping on a player like Albert Haynesworth did back in the day? We all remember
that.
Hey,
leave my man Albert alone, man. Albert catches
now, there's
strays.
A guy that could
Stop.
Snap.
Leave Albert alone, man.
Albert did snap a couple times. He definitely did in that game against the Cowboys.
Oh, Albert got kicked out of practice, too. Don't worry about
He snapped on some people in everyday life once or
leave
twice.
Leave my man Albert alone. On the record. Albert catches strays. I love you, Albert. I'm not saying nothing bad about my man Albert. Let's go. You want to go to these callers, Willie?
Yeah, let's do it. We got a lot of people. Let's get to Bart up first. Bart, welcome into the show. You're on DVD.
Hey, thank you so much. Enjoy listening to you guys so much. This is for D-Mace. Of course, you've been in those locker rooms. First part of the question is, does this get awkward, you know, when these things happen between two players? And does that kind of create a domino effect for a divide between offensive and defensive players? And then the second part of my question, I'm curious. I'm actually a former sports media member from long ago, so I think I have an idea about this question, but I'm curious what D-May says. How would Coach Fisher have handled this? So that's it. I'll hang up and listen. Appreciate
good question,
you guys.
Bart. Thanks.
Thank you. Fish would have kicked him out. For one, he wouldn't have touched Steve McNair. He wouldn't have touched Steve McNair because I think
But would Steve McNair have gone in and pushed somebody from behind? Like Cam Ward did instigate.
Yeah, I don't think Steve would have. Yeah, I don't think Steve would have done that. But if it was just one of those rare days, then he would have had to go through B-Hop. He would have had to go through Runyon or Fred Miller. He would have had to go through so many of the offensive linemen first before he even got to Mac. But Jeff would have threw him out because Jeff was known. He didn't have a problem with throwing guys out of practice because it's his thing. If you're going to fight in practice, I'm going to do the same thing they're going to do to you in a game. I'm going to throw you out. We just can't have that. Now, as far as the awkward part, Bart, no, it doesn't get awkward because a lot of times, man, it's just the heat of the battle and you're going at it. And, you know, by the time a practice is over with, you're really not even thinking about it, man.
It does look like there's a theme of texters here because I don't think we're going to get to them all. We got so many. But there's a theme of the bottom line is you never touch the quarterback, no matter what.
You're right.
But I don't know of many times I've ever seen a quarterback because I think he just did it in a little – Let me just poke the bear a little bit.
Oh, he was showing him up. He was showing him up. Yeah, absolutely he was showing him up.
So there does have to be that caveat, I think.
Yeah, he was showing him up. I guarantee you he was showing him up. And if I was out there, I'd have been hooping it high into him with my quarterback showing him up too. But then that's where it stops. You don't put your hands on my quarterback.
That's why I think tomorrow morning there needs to be everybody. Because I don't think there will be a carryover. I do think there's a good rapport. They've both been on the record. Mm-hmm. Ward and Simmons like the back and forth.
Exactly.
And hopefully this is helping the team get better and keeping the competitive level high. Mm-hmm. All right, when we get back, we'll continue to take phones and text on this. 615-737-1025. Keep them coming. We love the reaction here on Monday here on DVD. Stay tuned. Final segment coming up. Final segment here on DVD. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Adam Vingan had to bolt a little bit early today. He'll be back with us in full force tomorrow. Titans practice tomorrow, 9:45. Brian Callahan will address the media after this skirmish, scuffle. Kerfuffle is what Adam chose to use as the.
And TD didn't like
he
that.
He didn't like that. Yeah, he didn't like that at all. Took
I don't
issue.
Know why he liked that. He didn't like that.
There's a lot of synonyms. You know, Adam is a wordsmith.
Exactly.
I use rhubarb.
Yeah,
and Adam was wondering. I made Adam actually look up the word.
Yeah, it got us.
I got Adam. Usually, Adam already knows the vocabulary word.
That's for your. We call that the bag.
Yeah,
your big ass glasses.
Word of the day.
Word of the day.
Good vocab word. Absolutely. Adam has purchased a bell that we can ring.
And every time there's a big word, we're gonna ring the bell so you can get used to it.
615-737-1025. Let me get to Ryan, who was on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing? Glad to be calling in. I figure I'd try and offer a little bit of different perspective.
Do it.
And I agree with what was said earlier, right? Like, the situation is going to work itself out. This is not a known thing for Simmons to do at practice. However, what I'm more interested about is the bigger fish, because there's always going to be something else that we can talk about, right? Like, from you folks, what do you folks expect for going into the third and final preseason game, some expectations for Cam Ward, and then moving into the season, like, what are your realistic expectations for his first year under center? Presumably that he is the starter. So that's what I'd like to know, apart from this, the drama that took on today. So.
So you're looking beyond the issue today, and you're looking at big picture how he's progressing. Thank you, Ryan.
This third game, I'm not sure how Coach Callahan is going to put together his roster for the game. Maybe it's
he says they're going to play.
Sort of like last week where, you know, some guys didn't play, some guys did. I would like to see Calvin Ridley and Tyler Lockett and Van Jefferson all out there with the quarterback as well as the tight ends. I would love to see, Zeitler out there. Not so much Cushenberry, even though that would be a plus, but, you know, don't rush him out there if you don't need him. As long as he will be ready before the beginning of the season, if that's possible. But I would like for this offense to be more in sync. I want to see them put together a drive, like a good drive, starting at the 20, 25, 30, and putting together a solid NFL drive. And maybe even coming out and trying to, repeat that same thing the next drive. Because I think the more these guys can play together in real game type situations, the better they're going to be. So hopefully, you know, to what the caller said, I do hope Calvin Ridley and Tyler Lockett and those guys play.
One texter, we were joking about, put a name on it.
Yeah.
The texter says, where is Tavondre Sweat? Signed, Tavondre's Tonsils. So that's the name of the texter, I guess. Tavondre's, yes, Tavondre's Tonsils are asking. Wouldn't you know? I guess Tavondre's Tonsils, I don't know where they are right now. But
yeah.
I didn't hear too much detail over the weekend. Mm-hmm. They said that he should get back this week. Are you worried about his lack of reps?
Yeah.
He's missed a lot of time
from
here.
From this standpoint, the time. Missing of the time. And I know the defense, you know, Denard Wilson, and they got to be concerned too. This is my concern, and I'm sure this is theirs. Not that Sweat won't go out there and play and he'll be, it's just that when you haven't been doing it, like when you haven't been in the trenches, when you haven't been a part of practice, how it's going now, it's hard to try to get yourself in condition for that. You can run all you want to. You can lift all the weight you want to. But until you are on the field with those guys, again, you're getting pulled down from behind. People are falling on you. You're tackling you. Even if you're a big guy, those offensive linemen are grabbing you. You got to get up after you fall down. You got to push them off. All that stuff prepares you for the season. All of that. And Sweat isn't getting that. There's no doubt once he gets back in football shape, because right now, I don't care what nobody tells, he's not in football shape the way he would have been had he been practicing with the team and playing with the team. But because some things has happened with them, he hasn't been able to get on the field as much as I'm sure he's wanted to. So that's the part I'm concerned about, him being physically, like being able to play the way he played, all the snaps he played last year, that's what I'm concerned about. That at the beginning, he won't be able to play a lot of snaps because he's working himself into the shape that he needs to play for the season.
They need him, no doubt about it. A lot of people who already were in the camp of trade Jeffrey Simmons are using this as fuel to say, let's trade him. Let's make an offer to the Cowboys. Let's make an offer to the Bengals. I don't know that that's a real thing. But it is something that I think gains momentum when something like this happens. If you already were out on Jeffrey Simmons. But let's wait and see how the defense looks with Simmons and Sweat in there. We haven't really seen that yet. Another texter, let's call him Green Lantern, since we're using DC comic characters for unnamed texters. Is Simmons irritated because Ward is getting all the attention and not him?
No, I don't think it has anything to do with that. They're not even thinking about that. I just think he got the best of them. Yeah, you know, when you get mauled by the right tackle on one play, and then they come back and they score a touchdown on the next play, yeah, you're a little peeved, and you're a little irritated. So I don't think it has anything to do with, oh, he's jealous of him. I know Jeff doesn't come off as a guy like that. I would never think that. I just think
He's
a competitor. And listen, if you don't want to be in your feelings, stop them from scoring. That's all I say.
And the play before, J.C. Latham got Jeffrey Simmons a good block on him. And according to TD, the real rivalry every day is Latham versus Jeff in practice. So. Mm-hmm. That needs to be thrown in there. The Sam Squatch in East Nashville. I have not run across the Sam Squatch. I live in East Nashville. Yeah. But he says, hey, all of this makes it way easier on the heart to accept that the Titans are going to be terrible this year. Our success will be determined by the development of Cam Ward.
Well, yeah. I think you're right from that respect. The winning will come as the development starts to come for Cam Ward. It's hard to not develop your quarterback and try to pick up wins unless you got a hell of a run game and a lights out defense. Then you can work around in the ineptness of the quarterback. But if that was the case, then they'd just bench him and put somebody else in. But, you know, as he develops, more wins will come. I do believe that. So let's see what happens during the season.
Couple of things under the category before we get out of here. We're going to go more in depth as the week goes on. We didn't really get to it because of what happened today at practice. But quick thought on two of the rookies, because this is another thing about the season. If you accept that it's really about development of young players, starting with Cam Ward, but the other guys are so important. The catch that Gunnar Helm made. Give me your thoughts on that.
It's a big-time catch. That's a NFL catch right there. That's a clutch elite catch right there. And that's how they can use Gunnar Helm. Last week I said, you know, Gunnar Helm's going to catch a touchdown back shoulder, boom, in a game. And he ended up catching a shoulder back, catching a touchdown back shoulder in a game. Use that big body. That's something that they have not had at that position in a very long time. Since Delanie Walker. And Delanie was more so because of his ruggedness and his ability to just out-muscle people and his speed down the field. He wasn't as tall as Gunnar Helm. I think Gunnar's, what, about 6'5", somewhere around there, 6'6", if that, 6'5". I think Delanie is about 6'2", but Delanie was more, you know, bruteness, physicality, able to, you know, fluently move throughout the offense. But he would get his catches down the middle because of his speed, because he was outrunning guys, and he had great hands. Gunnar Helm can get down the middle because of his big body.
And, of course, that wasn't the only catch he made.
Exactly.
He made a few others as well, which was – so that was encouraging.
I'm looking for big things from him. I'm looking for – he's one of those guys that we need to keep a watch on.
If you've been waiting for this. Like, we have – some of these preseason games, it's hard to get through them and not just go, oh, my gosh, well, somebody – like the penalties and the things and the third stringers. But then when a guy makes a play like that, it's like, okay, now that's why we watch these games, to see what we've been hearing about in the practices or why they drafted a guy like that. That was encouraging. Femi Oladejo, give me your thoughts on what you're seeing.
Femi's still a tick slow. He's still reading things a half a tick slow. You can see the athleticism is there. He ran down a play from the backside, the running back, and made a tackle, I think.
Which did not qualify for my take it to the bank. I wanted him to get a sack.
Yeah, he didn't get
a
sack.
But that was the kind of thing, that was at least a flash.
Yeah,
he came from the weak side and used a little, you know, mobility
exactly.
And tracked the guy down.
But then there was another one where – you know, the quarterback, you know, faked the run and got outside, and the back was able to get outside of Femi, and you just saw the sort of awkwardness of him trying to, you know, read and react to it and get out to the field. He was just a tick too slow. And in this league, that's the difference between, you know, a 2-yard gain and a 12-yard gain. You being a he may still catch the ball, but you're right there to tackle him. It just seems like when he figures it out, if he does, he's going to be okay. But right now, he's just a tick slow.
When it's all said and done, there's no doubt in my mind that this rookie class is going to have every opportunity to play their way into a role for the future or out of a role. Boy, and it's been too much the latter the last 5 drafts. There's way too many guys that just aren't turning into anything. They need more hits, and this would be a great place if guys like that take advantage of this opportunity they have. That's all the time we have for today.
Hey, but Restrepo had a few catches.
He did make a couple catches.
Yeah, he had a few catches in the game. Don't forget about that. Restrepo had a few catches.
I don't want to make it all about Restrepo. I know a lot of people are all about, but, you know, Alec
Iomanner.
Iomanner looks good too. Yes. Like there's a lot of speculation that he is moving up and maybe even past some people, some veterans on the depth chart too. This is something to keep watching.
Exactly.
We'll hit on it more. The press conference will be coming at you at 9:45. I'm sure we'll have a lot of live coverage of that. We'll be back with you at 3 o'clock tomorrow, back in full force on DVD. Adam will be back at the helm.
Beloved,
not the Gunnar helm. The helm of the show.
I like it. Hey, people, as I say every day, be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful Monday. We love you. I love you. Peace.